Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing, my brother?
It's a great day in the neighborhood.
I heard that. I love it too, man. Hey, I hope everybody's good around the world. Things are good for you guys. We are here today, and this is it. We are going to, you know, just chop it up a little bit, have a little bit of dialogue, and hopefully you'll join in and enjoy it. And if you want to respond to it, you always feel free to send us a message through Messenger. Or solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, solarrecordsradio@gmail.com, if you want to respond to anything that we're talking about. We appreciate you very much. All right, so anyway, Phoenix, my brother, it's been a long week. Have you had a good week so far?
Absolutely, long, productive, humble, thoughtful.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. All right. Okay. So, why don't you kind of share out what we're talking about today?
Well, the topic for today is something that I believe affects everybody, no matter what walk of life, social, economic station, no matter where you live in this world. We've all been affected by the pandemic, and there's been a lot of hoopla about the pandemic and different choices, obviously, people couldn't make, and certainly these are important decisions. But what we were thinking about is how has it profoundly affected you personally? What has changed within you due to this global crisis? So that's really the topic that we're looking to explore, something I think is much needed and something that hasn't been specifically addressed to its detail as I think we could. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have you noticed any particular change in, you know, people in your circle or yourself that you may want to kind of give us an example?
Absolutely. I've been noticing all around town here in sunny Las Vegas, Nevada, there are many signs up for hiring, you know, hiring workers. And it apparently the pandemic has affected many people today in terms of the workforce. That's the first thing that I noticed, that it's kind of, even within these fast food restaurants, The owners are looking for good employees, and it apparently, because of the pandemic, a lot of people are gun-shy about going back into the workforce. So obviously this affects us in a large way. That's just one of the things that I've noticed.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know at first if that was real. I just knew, I thought that was an excuse, and some people were just using it to put down the new president because of the money that was being shared out to the country to help people to get along or help them out, because the pandemic was so bad that, you know, the government felt like it needed to. Even when the other president was in there, he was sending out money as well to help people along because it was so bad. And so when I was hearing about, you know, people saying, well, you know, if this president will stop giving people money, maybe they'll go back to work. Because what the president was doing, for those in other countries that may not understand, people were being laid off because they couldn't work. And so then, but then it was hard to survive on unemployment. And so they would add, so the president added additional $600 more a month on top of what they were getting to help them to get along, which I thought was great, you know, from both presidents. And so I thought, hey, people need what they need. Some people didn't need it. Some people, some businesses got help too that didn't even need it. And some were very good in giving it back, you know, and very responsible, as you say, in giving it back because they received it without needing it. So when people started talking about, if this president would stop, giving people money, maybe we could, people would go back to work. And I had a different outlook. I felt like, you know, that people are just being political about this, but this is real. And I found this out, just by doing some research on it myself after we talked. And also, you know, when I, there's so many companies that are looking for people to work for, and I see that now. So, yeah, man, it's just that part of it is really true. So what do you think? I mean, because what I noticed is that a lot of people now would prefer, now that they know that they can work from home instead of going into the workplace, they would prefer to just stay home and work. And so what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the whole mental climate has changed. I mean, there are a lot of single parents. There are a lot of couples that through the profit process has had pandemic babies. there's been the resurgence of reestablishing, you know, mentally one's focus in terms of employment. So we see that the pandemic has far-reaching effects psychologically on people, and it has changed, you know, the way we view things.
Well, yes, absolutely, I get that, and I believe that there's something. Yeah, the whole mentality has changed, not just for individuals, but even for business owners. Everybody's mindset has changed. Now, wait a minute. You have to have these big buildings if we could let some of our workers stay at home and just have them do what they got to do. But what I noticed in some of these deals that they're doing, and like with Amazon, I believe it is. Maybe I shouldn't say names, but in big companies like that, what I noticed that they're doing is that they're letting some of the workers stay home for a part of the time, but then they're saying you have to come in 1 day or 2 days a week, and we're going to give you less money for sick days, and we're going to give you less benefits, period, all across the board. You know, so people have to make a decision as to, is this better or is this not better?
Well, that's why, if you notice, I initially made a remark concerning the fast food industries. You know, my wife and I, at times, we will dare to go stroll out and go to some of these food court industries and find that service was lacking. It took more time, and one of the managers came out and asked us specifically if we knew anybody that wanted to work. And so, you know, yes, there are certain jobs that do not require brick and mortar established areas for their employees. But there's certain things you can't download. You can't download a burger. Somebody has to do the work. You can't download, you know, certain personal services. So, yes, that has been gravely affected. But like we've been saying, psychologically, though, it has changed the way we view things now. Family, employment, our interpersonal skills, you know. I've known many of my friends, for instance, have lost their parents. And the whole entire funeral was on Zoom. I mean, who would have thought that something like that would become a reality? That sounds like something out of the Twilight Zone. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. My cousin's funeral was on Zoom, and that was it was way out, and I was not. It was different. I couldn't go to the funeral anyway because of COVID, and it was so bad. And I was in the Poconos Mountains on vacation at the time of the funeral, and so I was really close to, you know, Philadelphia, but I couldn't go because, you know, I had my mom there, you know, I had to protect her. And so, you know, and I wanted to go because that was my first cousin who really, she was my oldest cousin, and she took care of me very, very well. As a young man, you know, I used to go and spend the weekends with her and her husband, and I used to always make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. but she, you know, she allowed me to be a young man and that I wanted to be and hang out with my older cousins and just kind of like mature, but she was always watching me, and so it broke my heart when I was unable to be there at her funeral, and it wasn't because of COVID though. She died with cancer, but COVID was the reason that, you know, people could not gather in the church,
right.
And you know they had their own church, and we couldn't even go to their own church. So, but anyway. Yeah, so
I was thinking in alignment with your song, This Is It. You know, where do we go from here? You know, that's the point, you know, to pencil in on a finer note. Okay, we've had the pandemic. Economic choices have changed. Funerals and weddings and gatherings have changed. But I'm more concerned with the mindset, the future. Where are we going? Has our aspirations changed? Years ago, it was all about a brick and mortar. You know, let's work for an IBM, or let's get the degree. Everything now is online. Dating, funerals, weddings, doctor's appointments. My wife had a doctor appointment. It was on Zoom. The doctor is on your computer looking at you, talking to you. You're like, wow, this is a whole new way of living. And I think has gravely affected people. You know, where do we go from here? This is it now at this point.
Well, it truly is it. And so when we are presented with a moment, we have to, first of all, recognize it, like we are right now doing this show. But we have to recognize it. And then we have to, you know, decide on how we're going to adapt to it. And, you know, worrying about other people, how they adapt to it, is another aspect of it, because we are affected by their reactions, right? But I have to say this, that, you know, like the my doctor's appointments, not mine, but my wife's doctor's appointments were also on Zoom. And so in a way for me, I'm looking at that going, well, that saved me a lot of gas, saved me a lot of time. It saved a lot of gas, a lot of time. And they're looking at her and they're asking her the questions. She's filling it out. So to me, there's a good part of it that's happening there. But you know, people just look at that and be negative about it. So it's really about your outlook. So, you know, like some people would say, but if you were in the doctor, he could actually see you, he could feel you. And I know all that stuff is true, but this is where we are. And so we have to try to find peace within it so that we can be in a peaceful state of mind. Because if we complain about everything that we, and especially things we don't know and understand yet, we're setting ourselves up for failure. I think we have to be more accepting to about what's happening because we can't change it. We have no control.
And I, to borrow a conversation that you and I was having the other day concerning interpersonal relationships and friends, as you and I have blossomed and developed a true brotherhood, I think it's a time now where people are starting to appreciate the selectivity of what true friends really are. I mean, many people loosely will say, oh, that's my friend. And I found myself as an older person redirecting their thoughts or perhaps intentions and saying, are they a friend or are they an acquaintance? You see, and in recent times, I can't say that I'm an avid book reader. I do get the opportunity to read, but I read a book called Spark. And they talked about, I think, which is a nice segue in alignment with our discussion today, it talked about at least five people that should be within your inner circle. Just five. You know, now one of them might include your wife. One of them could include another family member. But most of us are extremely fortunate if we have more than just one dear close friend. So how much more appropriate is that now during this pandemic where we're limited in terms of seeing people? Most of us are seeing friends through Zoom, but we do have a limited group of people that we do see face to face where we don't have the same fear factor. You know, these are associates or friends that we see actually up close and personal. Do we revere those intimate connections? It's something to reevaluate, particularly now in our time.
Well, that's a good thought. That's something to think about there. I know that, you know, the one thing about the pandemic, what it's done for me is that I have tons of really good friends that I grew up with, childhood friends that I grew up with, but I'm not in touch with them that much except for through like Facebook and something. But the pandemic kind of put all of my friends, my new friends, my old friends, you know, my close friends, all in the same boat. And I was able, it was uncomfortable because I was used to being around my new friends and I was also used to being around my good friends, and I couldn't do any of that. But my old friends had now come to the same, everybody was in the same position, and it gave me some balance on my friendships. Because I talked to all of them because we couldn't do anything. So I would talk to them, you know, they would call and check on me and see how I was doing. Are you okay? And I know you moved and now you're in another state and is things cool and we miss you and when you're coming back and, you know, and then, you know, even my close family members who are, you know, I couldn't see them. And, you know, and I remember I couldn't see my mom for over almost 2 years. And it was crazy. Wow. And so everybody was in, we were all in a stalemate where we couldn't go forward. We just had to stay where we are. And I think that when you are stuck in a spot like that, you have to find a way to be peaceful with it. Because if you don't, it can destroy you from the inside out, you know. And so I just have to trust, being a Christian, man, I have to trust God in all of the chaos, in everything, the good times and the bad times, the confusing times and the sad times.
It's interesting listening to you because, as you know, I recently got married. It's only been 3 months for me and a few days. But almost for 4 years after my divorce of 36, almost 37 years, I found myself alone in a one-bedroom apartment. And, yes, God was at the top of the list. But I also thought, you know, music, you know, as a conduit for my feelings was a primary factor in my life because I did most things, my own household chores. I've been labeled a neat freak, so I get up, I make my bed up. You know, they say that's the first mental exercise one could actually do is to feel accomplished by making your bed as opposed to not making up your bed and then going back to bed that night in an unkept environment. So there are a lot of little subdividers within your life that you find out, I know I did, during this pandemic. You know, do you like yourself? You know, here's a thought. Many people I know, many times in observance of my daughter being young, she's about 26 now, but she always had to be around a lot of friends. We had a pool, and every time I looked around, there was 25, 30 kids in my backyard just destroying my backyards and my inflatables. And I would ask her, do you need to be around so many people? So now looking at the pandemic, it forced people to be isolated, no longer having that vehicle. Do you like yourself? Are you okay with yourself? Your meditative standpoint when you're alone, your disquieting thoughts, you know, do you have any real hobbies, anything that's substantive, something that makes you engage in something that's external to yourself? You know, all of these things help you to realize where you are at that particular time in your life. Because if you found yourself in this pandemic and all of a sudden you no longer had that connectivity to lose yourself amongst so many people and you found yourself alone, maybe there were a lot of things that you found out about yourself that you didn't particularly like. How did you cope with it? How did you address it? Have you come out of that situation, and have you benefited?
Yeah, because suicide rates went up way high.
Absolutely.
And so that right there in itself kind of tells you, you know, how, you know, what was happening with some people. And I also remember parents realizing how much they depended on teachers. And we got to get these kids back in school. I can't deal with these crazy kids. It's your crazy child. It's your
right.
child. And so, but when they had to self-teach, they had to teach their children, you know, it was a whole nother story. And so the revelation for them was, like, maybe the teacher is not as bad as I thought the teacher was. And all of a sudden, teachers became they were the demons, and then they all of a sudden became the hero story because people realized, wow, my kids
You
are
never
really
miss your water
bad.
Till your well runs dry.
Exactly. And so it was a wake-up call for a lot of people and still is a wake-up call for a
Absolutely.
Lot of people. Yeah.
Well, like we mentioned, you know, music has brought us together. Music is a tremendous conduit. And there are other things, you know, there are other forms of art. You know, there are people that even share, sometimes when I'm on the phone with my daughter, we share cooking recipes. You know, my daughter couldn't boil water before. Now she's this awesome chef. And health-wise, it's forced people to stay at home, learn to cook, make healthier choices. So like you said, there, you know, hasn't been all bad. It's an inner reflection of what you can do now and looking forward to the future. Where are you going with this? See?
Yeah.
Things
to
think about.
You know, I have to say also, you know, I mean, we really got to recognize what was important and who mm-hmm. was important being in this situation. Like, and then it, because when you recognize who is important and what is important, your values can change then. And it you put more value on something that you weren't really paying that close attention to. You may even have friends that all of a sudden show up in a way that you didn't expect. Like, I have a friend, and out of the blue, she's just a sweet friend. But out of the blue, when all this stuff was going on, and then I got sick with COVID, all of a sudden she was shipping food and all kind of things to me so I wouldn't have to worry about going anywhere to get anything. And for me to be at peace where I am and not worry because friends like her is going to shelter me and do the best to cover me until I could recover. I mean, man.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
and it was just, it was such an amazing wake-up call, because it's like, wow, this person that I didn't recognize was that I meant that much to them, that they would do what they did for me, really made my value about that person change instantly. Like, wow, it's not that she gave me anything. What mattered was that she cared enough to go and buy these things, spend her own money, and she's a single mom, and she do all that for me and my wife and send it to us. That part right there, you can't ignore that part, that you, because that's what you call sacrifice. And when people sacrifice, you know, themselves for you, it's like, you need to pay attention to that.
And you know,
me,
what's interesting,
sometimes
these things are latent qualities. Like, I remember being in New York, and they had the blackout. And, you know, New York is never, or I should say for the most part, is usually on the radar for being insensitive, you know, the modern metropolis, the modern Rome, you know, the Ephesus, you know, people, you know, being uncourteous to one another. But during the blackout, you know, the then mayor of New York took duly noted that New Yorkers, not only were they resilient, but they were helping people across the Brooklyn Bridge and Manhattan Bridge. They were bringing order. They were doing little things that meant so much, faithful and least, faithful and much. So my point being is, as with your friend, sometimes these are latent qualities or gems within a person that doesn't get a chance to surface until there is a situation. And that's when you find a friend in need is a friend indeed. Are you that person? Are you resilient? Are you willing to put the needs of others ahead of yourself? And if not, maybe it's a time for personal reflection. You know, are your friends only your friends because they do things for you, or because they compliment you, or because you receive financial gain? But like you say, it's the little thing. It's the ability to put yourself and your personal circumstances aside and reach out to help someone else in need. These are mm-hmm. true spiritual qualities. I don't care what your background is. And
yeah.
if they are lacking in you, maybe this is a time for resurgence. Maybe this is a time for reflection to say, you know, it was nice that person helped me, but would I help someone else? And if not,
yes.
maybe it's a time to rectify that.
Amen. And, you know, I just want to, you know, say that, you know, there have been, and there still is, some really crazy people out there doing some really crazy things. And that's, but this is the thing. that was already happening, right, before the pandemic. And it's still happening. It's just still happening. But
it's amplified,
you know,
today, though. That's the only difference.
It's so amplified today. But to me, my joy comes from celebrating the heroes in the moment, the people that come out of the woodworks and just show up and do things for you. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, yesterday, all day, now, Phoenix, you're going to really crack up at this. That means laugh at this, guys, just for those to understand that lingo. But I had a friend call me out of the blue. I mean, I talked to him. I mean, I know him. But he's just he's a deacon at my church, right? And so when I got to church, I remember talking and saying something about this flat tire I had on my tractor. And so what happened? I said, well, the guy, I called the farm people. They said that, you know, the people that work on that will come to your farm and fix things on your farm for you, mechanical things for your farm, like your tractors, lawnmowers, all kind of stuff. I called them, and they said that they'll come in the beginning of the week to try to help me out because they were crazy last week. And he says, oh, okay. I said, so I'm just waiting for them. He said, okay. So then yesterday morning, I got a text from him saying, hey, I just got to do a couple of things, but I put my trailer on the back of my truck, and I'll be over to help you with your tire. And I'm like, what? Really? And then he said, I'll be there around 11 o'clock. Is that okay? And then I responded, like, in shock, like, yeah, sure, for sure. That's perfectly fine. And so then he came over, and so there was another guy here working at my house, working on my deck, building my deck for me. And he's working back here, and we're over there at the tractor. So he finally finds the right thing to get the lug off of my tractor tire. Now, this tractor tire is about the same height as me almost. It's huge. And so we take – I also got to tell you, when the tire started going flat and I parked and it started going flat, I got out the tractor, I looked. It was water coming out of my tire like crazy. I was like, what, did it rain inside my tire? Where did all that water come from? So anyway, so getting back to the story. So then – so we're trying to – figure this tire out. We got the lugs off, but we can't. The tire is so heavy. It is so heavy. So then the guy that was working on the deck, he was about to leave, and I said, Will, come here, man. Come here. Help us. So we only had to go like about five steps to the trailer with this thing. We were rolling it, but it was so heavy, it was hard to turn it and control it. And finally, we got it in the spot, the three grown men, and dropped it on the trailer. And Lord, then we couldn't get the back part up off the ground. And so we had to do all kind of leveraging to get this tire up. I was like, this is the heaviest tire I ever. And all the water was out of it. There was no air, no water in it. It was done. But it was that heavy. So finally, we got it on. I got to hurry up. We got it on. Took it down to the shop, and as soon as I pulled up into the place, the guy was like, oh, no, I can't work on that today. And then I said, listen, the only thing that happened is the stem, my air valve broke. Can you? Oh, he says, oh, that's it? Yes, yeah. He said, okay, I can do that. So then I watched them bang and do to break the seal. Then they got inside and put that up. And then the guy came with this big old bucket of grease and put it all around because he can't put like a belt on it to squeeze it to make it seal so you can get the air in it. So what he did, put a whole bunch of grease around the rim of it, and so the air wouldn't come out. And then it filled it up. And so then once he got the air in it, then he brought this thing over and put water in it, and he filled it up. So this thing goes in, lets the water out, lets the air out as the water is going in. And so I said, okay, well, thank you. We see, we never took it off the trailer, so it's there. So then we come back to my ranch. We come in, we back it up as close as possible because we already know what we were dealing with the first time. We back it up as close to the track as possible, but we couldn't get it off the trailer. We couldn't even stand it up. And so we had to let all the water out. But anyway, so anyway, we finally did all this and got it off and everything and said it. And then we ended up, you know, having a struggle. We got it. So it took, I had to call another one of my friends to come and help us because we couldn't do anything. We needed 3 minutes at least. And so we got the job done. Everybody was leaving. Now, we started at 11 o'clock, and we finished at about 5 or 6. That's how long it took to change the tire. And so then this morning, I get a phone call from the company that says, hey, we're just calling about the tire. I said, hey, a great friend came over, and we took care of it. Thank you. He says, okay. And so it means so much. I had to write a message to the people at the church just to let people know. Even in the darkness, all of this crazy stuff that we're all going through in this dark pandemic time, you know, God has sent, he sends his people to take care of us. And we need to make sure that we celebrate that because it lets other people know that it's still goodness despite all the darkness in the world. So that,
and, you know, there's one thing I wanted to inject. Yes, we can employ the creator, the grand instructor. But remember, those seeds, God can make them grow in you. But if you don't plant those seeds and you don't nurture those qualities, you make it very, very difficult for God to use you. And so, you know, remember, like they say, God can use the rocks and the trees to clap and applause. But he's looking for those fine seeds of faith or qualities within us that he can use. Something to meditate on.
Yes. Amen to that, man. And
so it sounds like those people had those seeds of change within them so they could be used. And yes, what we're talking about is a pandemic and how it's affected us. So when we're called to duty, you know, are we duty bound?
Yes. Amen, brother. I love it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the key part about what Felix just said. We don't always have to be the recipient.
Right.
Sometimes we need to be the ones that go out and be the blessing. You know, I got to tell you that I'm a chaplain. That's what I do. My job is to serve. That's what Jesus did. He was the servant. He served his people and to the point where he put his life on the line and not just put his life on the line, but died for it. But sometimes you got to be, if you want something, you got to give something. You know, we can't expect certain things when we're not doing certain things.
What is the biblical passage? Here I am. Send me. And so that willingness, the willingness to be used, you know, people don't realize to be, you know, the word slave is usually attributed to a negative connotation. But truly to be a servant, you must be a slave. And a slave is one in its proper sense, not in its negative connotation, is one that's willing to put the needs of others ahead of themselves. The one who's willing to wash the feet of another, which is truly a remedial task. But are you humble enough? You know, everybody says, you know, I want to be a doctor. Oh, God, you know, doctors make upwards of $250,000. But do you think about what a doctor does? A doctor has to take his hands and put it in places that you and I would shudder to think. They're willing to get their hands dirty, knee deep. Sometimes, you know, my daughter had a tremendous, she had, without getting into her specifics, but she had a terrible accident and, you know, the doctors had to go in and operate for several hours twice, one day and then the second. And I never forget when the doctor came out of the operating room and he had blood on his face. You know, these are the true warriors because these are those that are willing to do the compromising things in order to heal another person. And so not just doctors, there's spiritual healers, there's physical healers, there's personal healers. We all play a part if we're willing to be used in those varied capacities. Something to think
Amen.
About.
That's right. Also, doctors have to expected to tell the bad news. They have to sit in front of parents and or, you know, friends or whatever, husbands and wives, and share the hard news, the hard information. And also doctors, before they become doctors, they have to go through school after school after school. They have to sacrifice their fun times to study and be ready. Study and be ready. That's a whole
And you know what I was thinking too, Wardell, as a recipient, you know, do we take those acts of kindness for weakness? You know, within our own imperfections, do we secretly say, oh, you know what? This person is a chump, man. They're doing all this for me. I would have never done that for them. Do we have that tug of war within our own mental space? You know, do we, although we are recipients of this person that has done this good deed, do we secretly kind of poo-poo it? Do we say, this act of kindness is a sign of their weakness? Maybe we have that character flaw. Maybe that's something we could weed out, because people do have a tendency to take kindness for weakness, but it takes a tremendous strength, particularly to help someone that you're not that fond of personally, or you're not that connected to. That's a truer sense of where you're at.
Amen. That's right.
Maybe they're a different color, a different culture. Who knows?
Yes. You never know. So I want to read from a listener. I have learned to count the blessings of the day. Last thing at night, it works for me. I don't do that. I didn't do that before. And so, but throughout this pandemic, we discovered how blessed we are.
Yeah.
Right? And so now it's caused us to change who we are so that we can be better in the moment. Because we need to be able to adjust. We have to be flexible. You know, and it's because sometimes we get just real hard. We can be hard, like and you know what a hard hose on a car does, it usually, when the heat gets too hot, it pops. It can't handle it, as opposed to the flex hoses, that they can handle the heat a little better because they flex, they move, and they're not dry rotted like those hard hoses. And so it's important that we don't allow ourselves to become dry rotted in our spirit about life, because we can, because we hold on to old, we hold on to things that hurt us, we hold on to people that have done things that, you know, or things we see that we don't like, and we can't hold on to those things. God is in control, and he will take care of that.
Or the best is when people say, you know, I'm spiritual, and I threw my burdens on the Most High God, but then they take it back, because they believe that God needs their assistance with their sour grapes. But, you know, we still carry that burden. Do we forgive but don't forget? Can we forgive and forget? Can we truly move on? Has the pandemic had a profound effect in that regard, where we've had the opportunity to weed out those imperfections within our spiritual gardens?
So let me ask you a question for a listener. So what about those that have not had a good experience in the pandemic? Like, bills have gotten out of control. It can't do what they, you know, used to do. It's affected the whole family financially. And so they're more like on the dark side of it. It's and just trying to figure out, like, whoa, what the hell is this? Well, sorry for my language, but what the heck is this? Why am I, you know, in this? Why did this have to happen to me? And then you have people that have lost loved ones, that, you know, like, including me. I lost loved ones. My close cousin, and he's gone because of the pandemic. So what about those people that are on the dark side of it, that feel, you know, like Do you have any thoughts?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, what is in the dark will come to the light. I think what one of the listeners said, counting your blessings, quantitatively is a very expressive thing to do. Because when you're topsoil and you're above ground and you're still in the land of living, count your blessings. There's so many people that have expired that are no longer with us. So the fact that we are what is known as an able-bodied man, which is inclusive to women, then we have to be able to look at what our current circumstance is and what can we do to put ourselves in a better position. As long as we have that objective mode, we're going to be okay. But if we sit back and, you know, they say, you know, it's okay to stumble. You know, have you ever seen anyone who tripped and fell? And they stumbled and they found themselves on the floor. But an hour later, they're still on the floor. You go, well, what happened? Oh, you know, I fell. And then you come back next week and they're still on the floor. You said, well, didn't you fall last week? What are you still on the floor for? Can I help you? So as silly as that might sound, sometimes we fall, but we have to get up. And if we're still lying down, then we haven't physically gotten up. And that's the first step, is to get erect mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, is to put ourselves in a position to receive these blessings. Otherwise, we're still lying on the ground. What good is that going to do us?
Yeah. You know, I saw a young lady in a track race, and track and field, I think it was the Olympics. I'm not sure if it was the Olympics. I think I'm putting a little extra mayonnaise on the sandwich, but it was a big track event. And so, and it's just, they were running, and then all of a sudden she got tripped up. You know, it was like the mile relay or something, and she got tripped up, and she fell down on the ground. And everybody's like, oh, you can hear everybody, oh, my God. And the whole pack was gone. And she got up, fresh herself off, and she started running again. And they're like, well, why is she even running? Why don't she just – because everybody thought she was just going to run around to the thing and just get off the track. But this girl did not give up. She never gave up. She kept running. And all of a sudden, she started catching up to the pack. And then all of a sudden, she started moving inward in the middle of the pack. And before you knew it, she moved up to the front of the pack, and the girl won the race. She won the race. It was like, now that is amazing in itself, because not only did she not give up, but she won. She won.
Well, let me put the cherry on the top of that expression, that anecdotal story that you just shared with us. We're all in a race. It's called the human race. And the object of the human race is to win the prize. And as long as we're in the race and we're in the running and we get our butts off the bleachers and we get into it, get involved, like James Brown said, then we are a part of the human race. And your expressions exemplified what it means to be in the race and to be a true winner. It's not the trophy. It's the process.
Yeah. It gets difficult. And I remember when my cousin died, I remember being very down. I was on the phone with my auntie when the doctors came to her and said he passed away. And I was like, oh, my God. And I remember being devastated and very, very upset about it. But I did not let that emotion, you know, control who I was and what I had to do. And I know my cousin would not want me to have done that either. And so, and I think being able to continue to grow and be strong is not a sign of how much I didn't care about my cousin or weakness, but it was a sign of strength and love, you know, for self and to do what I know my cousin would want me to do. And so, but like one of the listeners said, you know, this is this financial crisis is something that happened to the whole world, and that takes a while, and that's going to take a minute for us to recover. But we have to know that we can recover and that we will recover, and we have to do our best in that situation to get to the other side of it. And so I just want to encourage my friends that, you know, you're not the only one suffering. A lot of us are. And so we're in this together, and we'll get through this together, but we have to keep our heads up together as well and believe that we can get to the other side of this, you know. And I a lot of my musician friends could not perform. They couldn't make any money at all. Couldn't go nothing. They went from making, you know, lots of money every week to zero. And then the government was really trying to help, but it took a long time to try to get some kind of help for independent contractors, because that's what they were. They were independent contractors. They weren't employees. And so,
right.
and they suffered, but see, that money that they lost is never going to come back. It's gone forever. And so but those bills just kept coming. They kept coming. And so the bills got higher. And so when you get a little bit in there, you got to feed it. You got to feed this thing until we can get it back to a manageable place. And so I just say walk by faith and not by sight. And know that everything is going to be okay. And don't be bitter, but be grateful that we still have our lives and we're still here. That we can get up and say, you know, we could be a part of the human race still and go and we can try to live out, you know, getting better. But a lot of us died. A lot of us died. Over, at least in the world, I think it's about over 1 million people that have died. I know in the United States alone is 600,000. That have died. So there's a lot of people that lost their life in this pandemic, but we are still here, and we are so blessed because of that, and we have to keep up a good fight, because this could just be the beginning of something really bad. So if we can't get past this part, we're really going to have a difficult time. If there's another page, God forbid that, but if there's another page, it's worse than this one. But just like we thought, once we got past 2020, 2021, we were all couldn't wait for 2021. And look what happened. The pandemic is back again. It's back again. So, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't make it out of 2020. So to be in 2021, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It may be hard, but you're here. You know, and hopefully 2022 will get better. We just have to play. Okay, and so let me see. I got one more thing here. Remember what you had, but love what you have, God. So remember what you had, but love what you have, God. Exactly, exactly. We got to love what we do have. We got to be grateful for what we have right now, which is definitely each other, if nothing else. We got each other.
Yeah, we have tremendous, you know, I'm glad you said that. We have tremendous resources.
A listener said that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. We have tremendous resources.
Yeah, resources, absolutely.
Yeah, we have tremendous resources, but in order to count those blessings, we have to quantify those blessings, which is a little different, is to really underscore what those blessings are. And to identify them, and then to put them in practice. You know, what good is a battery if we don't connect the cables? You know, we have to use what we have to get what we want to achieve. And if we're resilient, and we're not just on the receiving end, but we're on the giving end, then we can complete the cycle. We're plugged in, as it were. So let's plug into this and utilize our resources properly.
Yes. Amen. Amen to that. Just say that last part again. And just say that last part that is so important. That's utilized.
We have to plug in, and we have to utilize our resources. And if we do so, then we'll complete the cycle.
Wow, and that's beautiful. And then I'm going to say this from one of the listeners. Love is the best resource. Whoa. I love that, because it is. It really is, because it starts with self-love. It starts with love for others. It starts with our love for my Heavenly Father. It starts with love and caring about each other. And we're going to get through this together. But it starts with love. That we have this emotion that's built inside of us, that's put inside of us for a reason, for us to use it to be a blessing to each other. We got to use it. It is love. It is love is the driving force. And we understand that love is the driving force. You know, we can go out, we can fight those battles, you know, easier, because we know we got the great I am right there with us. And everything's going to be okay, but you got to believe and you got to trust. Then you got to run with your head up and not with your head down, because you won't see where you're going. You got to keep your head up.
I love it.
and believe and know where you are in this race. You know, it's going to be all right. But hallelujah, you're still in the race. We're all still in this race, and let's do it right, and let's do it together, even if we have to pass the baton to one another just to get to the winning line. That's okay, too. I don't mind sharing my victory with you. You know, it's that's what it's all about. We're sharing life together. We are all on this planet together at the same time. For some reason, we all connected with each other. And there's a lot of people on this planet, but we connected with each other. That's a miracle in itself. And you know, you have to look at it like that. But for me, I really pay attention. Like, whoa, why is Greg and Astrid all the way on the other side of the world friends of mine? Why is Phoenix on the other side of the country a friend of mine? It could have been anybody, but it's you guys. I lock on to that with all my heart and say, thank you, God. You brought them into my life for a reason, and I'm holding on to my friendships. And I love my friends, and I'm blessed because of it. So, but anyway, whew, Lord.
Good words, bro, as usual.
Amen. So listen, we got 2 minutes left in the show. Phoenix, is there anything else you would like to say before we go on?
Ooh, well, man, I think we said a lot. There's been much that has been said, but it's really going inside of yourself and developing those interpersonal skills. You know, there's a seed that is growing inside of us, and we have to weed out the weeds. We have to find out who we truly are during these times. No longer are we allowed the privilege of being superficial. We have to allow ourselves to be comfortable with ourselves, to accept our failures and accept our blessings, and do the things necessary to be plugged in and complete the cycle, not just as the recipients of goodwill, but also the progenitors of those that give of themselves. Now we're truly completing the cycle. So stay blessed.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much, man. We do appreciate you here. And so long, Records Radio. And this is our brother Phoenix, man. Hey, man, much love to you and your bride. You know, her know we appreciate her. We love what she's inspired you to say certain things and do certain things around here. And it's a beautiful thing. So thank you.
Good to
thank
be
you,
loved.
Thank you. Amen to that. All right, brother. Well, I guess we will be back. We're going to take a small break here. And we'll be back, and let's get going with Mix It Up on Soul Eye Records Radio. All right, guys. Talk to you later, Phoenix.
All the blessings.
All the blessings. We're in search for heaven. My goodness gracious, what a beautiful song. Man, so that's, so we had two back-to-back artists from the UK I just played to you, Tony Morale, and Lucas Seto. Lucas likes that I call him Seto. He said, that sounds cool to me. But it's Seto. And so, Tony Seto. And we just interviewed Lucas Seto the other day. If you guys didn't hear the interview, just, if you're on Facebook, just go through down and you'll see it. Lucas Seto. And then if you want to hear Tony, we're trying to organize it right now because Tony came on last week, but his reception was so bad. It was, you know how technology does you, right? That we couldn't hear him. So we're setting up another interview, so tune in for that. It should be this Saturday. All right. So, but anyway, I hope you guys are good, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to Soul Out Records Radio. I had a great conversation with our brother Phoenix. God bless you, Phoenix, and thank you. Let's see the glass halfway full kind of conversation, right? And because it's easy to see it halfway empty, and so sometimes we have to challenge ourselves. And I believe that's basically what was happening there. And I love that comment that my brother Greg made, that love is the best resource. I just think, you know, you're so right on with that. And we need to it's already dark outside. It's dark outside when it's bright outside. So we just always try to be optimistic as we possibly can, because, whew, what a mess it can be. Anyway, guys, so here we are. We're mixing it up today on Soul Out Records Radio. We heard two indie artists back to back. And they're, you know, I mean, they're only indie because we don't know them here in the United States, but those dudes are bad. They got it going on. And I'd like to thank Associate Producer Greg for bringing them to the table here. And then I know Astrid has a couple people that she's been working on, and she just sent me an interview that she set me up with overseas. And so I'm going to post it, Astrid, as soon as I upload it into my YouTube channel. I will post it in the Soul Out Records Radio group page so everybody can check it out and stuff. It was fun. We had I enjoyed talking to the brothers overseas and just hearing their perspective about what I did as a drummer and musician. And one of the things that was so cool, and this is kind of like just a little note in regards to the interview, when they were asking about, what about click track? Did you play with the click track? And I had to tell them, back then, I was the click track. And so they started laughing because we didn't have no click track back then. I was the click track, and it was just a blessing to be able to have that interview with them and hold it down, hold down my gig. You know, it was a job being the drummer. And if you didn't hold it down, you know, you'd have got replaced real quickly. And so I was real fortunate that I didn't get replaced, and Leon was good enough to keep me and appreciate me and taught me. So I really, really appreciate that. But anyway, so with that being said, that's tomorrow, Indie Jazz, they don't forget. We have a special guest for y'all tomorrow. So come on, brother. Out of South Africa, bass player. Uh-oh, y'all got to get ready for that. Come on and hang out with us. Esther tried to teach me how to say his name, but anyway, you guys have to come out. And I just had a great conversation with him, too. And he's really a good brother. And I can't wait to get him on here. You guys are going to really be blessed. You got to check out this interview because he's a good man. He has a good heart. And he's determined. He also played with Hugh Masekela. Y'all know Hugh Masekela, right? Oh, man. Yeah, so it's Kumalo Bukuti is his name. So come on and check it out, and we're going to have a good time tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with him when he comes on. And so I think we have a little brother in the background over here. What's up, my brother? That's my little brother.
Hey. You talking about the guest tomorrow?
Yes, I am.
Was it Kumalo?
Yes.
All right.
A bass player from out of South Africa, man. Bad boy.
I'm ready for it, man. South African, to me, South African just jazz music is just so phenomenal to me. I love it. And I remember when you had talked about, I started listening a little bit more to Hugh Masekela, you know, and of course I Fela Kuti and I don't know if Fela Kuti is South African, but anyway, I started listening to a lot more African jazz, and it's just a lot. I mean, it opened my mind to a lot more stuff. I mean, I always liked it, but to just study it a little bit more, man, and using this as an outlet for just that knowledge of it, man, it's just great.
Okay. All right. Well, I think one of the producers just said that I have it backwards.
He's Nigerian. I'm sorry. Fela Kuti's Nigerian. So I apologize for that.
What did you just say?
I mentioned Fela Kuti. I thought he was South African. He's Nigerian.
Oh, okay. But he's from South Africa. And his name, when I said backwards, I said his name. I was saying his name backwards. It says it's Kumalo. Yeah. Bakuti. Kumalo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bad boy. So I've been listening to his music. I go, whoa. And he happens to be over in my home state, in Pennsylvania. So I said, boy, I can't believe you where I want to be right now. I want to be there because I want some of that food. I want that food over there. I love that food in Philadelphia. And he does too. So he loves it. So, but anyway, so Don, my man. So listen, we were, when I called into your show yesterday, there was something that you wanted to talk about today.
Yes. I'm always intrigued by your knowledge, and even though, and I didn't do you right last night. I didn't do you right because it was the last 9 minutes of this. It was the last 9 minutes of the show, and I wanted you to kind of abbreviate. I wanted you to try to abbreviate in 9 minutes, just from your perspective, from your vantage point in the industry, the transition from live instruments into more synthetic sounds to computers. I wanted just to know, were you easily adjusted to it? Was it okay with you, or did it be like, well, we're kind of moved because of technology, we're moving away from, because a lot of people feel that way too. You know, once you get more into the computer ages and using synthetic sounds for computers and drums and things like that, knowing that you are a drummer, a traditional drummer, I just wanted to kind of see if you can abbreviate the that transition. How did you feel about that transition? And in retrospect now, does it feel like that a lot of people, even now, do you think because of the technology, we seem to kind of lose step in the authenticity of listening. Not saying that you can't make authentic music on a computer, but there is just something like you had mentioned, and you had mentioned a little bit. And again, I don't want to just babble. I want to feel that I want to get to my point, but you know what I'm trying to say. I think when you were able to maneuver through that technological transition, were you comfortable with that? And even now, in retrospect, do you think that, you know, a lot of music today, or some aspects of music today, we're missing that knowledge, you know, as far as live instruments? But go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, you know, as far as the music back in the day versus the music today goes, first of all, I like to be careful because I just finished playing a couple of young brothers from the UK that I admire so much and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Tony and Lucas from the UK. And I just interviewed both of them, and I have nothing but a lot of love and respect for what they're doing. And one of the reasons I think that I feel that way about them is just because they're really singing. And, you know, they're not using talk boxes and all that other technology stuff that you talk about, the computer sounds and changing things. They're actually doing music right. And they went back and they started developing themselves based off of the stuff from back in the day. That's what they admire and that's what they learn from it. So that's what they're emulating in their music, which really is a blessing. For me, because it just shows me that
right.
music is going to continue to live in that way, because a lot
mm-hmm.
of talent like those guys recognize that the computer music is just a moment and not really the real deal. And I don't mean that in a
mm-hmm.
bad way. I don't want to disrespect anybody that's making a good living, taking care of their families off of it. You know, they're
yeah.
good for you and everything. But when it comes down to music, I am a musician first. And so when it comes down to music,
mm-hmm.
this is just my opinion. When we were in the studio back in the day, we all played our instruments, right? And so we were recording into an analog machine, which is tape. And so, and when you hit that tape with those instruments, the saturation is different than when you hit digital with the instrument, because it just the saturation when you hit analog, it spreads and it helps with the sound of the instrument. So when it comes back at you, it's not so hard and brittle. It's easy on the ears when it comes back. But when you hit digital with those instruments, whether it's live instruments or not, it's coming back hard because you're hitting a
right.
hard, and it comes back hard. And
right.
And people like I like loud, but I don't want to hurt myself, you know. So that part of it, just from you know the technical part of it, is a part that I'm talking about right now as far as what we record it on and how, you know, the difference in the sound. Analog sound is way better. As a matter of fact, now they have the computers that they're trying to, you go to a certain app to get an analog sound. So they're doing everything they can
mm-hmm.
to like stay relevant, but use
mm-hmm.
what we used to do, right, and how we used to
mm-hmm.
sound. They got all of our old mics and stuff in the computer now and say, you want that kind of sounding mic or this kind of sounding mic, you could do that.
But right.
And then they same thing with musicians. They got, well, this kind of drummer, you know, this is his kind of style, you know, that kind of drummer, or this kind of guitar player, or that kind of bass player, that kind of keyboard player.
Uh-huh.
And so you have So you have somebody sitting at their desk and just picking out these different things with no experience. Well, I shouldn't say that, but they don't really have the musician there. The problem is when you have, okay, you have my style maybe, and you may even have my sound, but the one thing that you don't have is my magic. See, because every single human being has magic. Every single one of us. That's what makes us different. Every single one of us. Right? Our DNA is completely different. It's like, how could it? They're Siamese twins. How could their DNA be different? That's their magic. That's the magic right there. God made all of us individually, right? And so when you don't have that magic, you lose the soul of what you're trying to discover, what you're trying to create. Because basically what you're doing is and I don't mean this in a bad way, but you're taking something that don't belong to you and trying to do something with it. When you have the real musicians, all you have to do is call them. They want the real. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for you. Call them and get real musicians in there to play on your stuff. You can still stay in your digital domain if that's what you want to do, but at the very least, have real musicians playing. Because when you take musicians out of music, what do you have? You're taking the musicians out of music. That's just ridiculous. So you got to, call these guys so you can have some magic, because it's from moment to moment that we will play something a little bit different than we did a moment ago, right? Because emotions come in when you're playing, and it causes you hear something that the bass player is doing that was different than the last bar or two ago. And it triggers a reaction on your guitar. And you go, oh, or on my drums, when I hear somebody hit something, I go, oh, and I read to it. It's just, you computers can't react. They are programmed to do whatever the programmer told it to do. And it just do the same thing over and over and over until you tell them to do something else. So, that takes away the magic in the new music today, because you don't have that magic. You don't have people reacting because you quit using machines to play, and now you're using machines to do the voices as well. And so it's just really, it's become a really sad reality that we're all in when it comes down to music and the quality of music. And so we have to watch the transition. But the hope is people like Lucas and Tony that are still doing, and Bruno Mars, and what is Anderson .Paak? These guys, they love that the way that stuff was, and so they're doing that with the real music, we're having musicians and stuff, and I'm really blessed because of it. So,
All right. All right. See, I knew you'd do it. And again, the way that you went to, from digital to analog, and you basically, gave us the nuances of it. And, and I couldn't have done that. So thank you for that, man. I appreciate it. Again, I put you on the spot yesterday but you hit a home run, man. And I really appreciate you, because again, this is history. This is a history lesson. Let's keep it real. I know you're being modest and humble about it, but again, there are people out here that are saying, they're taking notes right now and be like, what else said? Digital here is this, and analog is this. And they're taking it for their future references, down the road when they're, able to encounter or able to, have a music venture. To where they, these things are appreciated. So, man, thank you again for that.
Yeah, man. And thank you for the question. I mean, it's important, man. I love music. It's been a real big blessing to me. all my life. And, you know, from the point where my dad was singing in the church and doing his thing, oh, my God, I wish you could have seen my dad. I wish all you guys could have met my dad. He was so funny. And, you know, he was just a great guy and a great pastor. And he was a comedian. He always liked to make us laugh all the time. And so, but anyway, that's pretty much it. So I guess we have another 23 minutes. Another 23 minutes left. I'm gonna play a couple songs, then we'll be back, and maybe Don may have another question. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Computers now write music. So what is the future for music? Computers now write music. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, I'm praying.
There you go.
Computers. I'm praying that, you know, we don't allow that to happen. But I have no idea. All I can do is just hope for the best, you know. We just got to keep doing us, and the people that believe in, you know, creating your own music and using musicians and keeping it real, I just pray that they, you know, push through. And win the race against the computers, because I think that that's just ridiculous. But computers have been writing songs for a long time. I remember there was some machine that, you know, you push one button and it plays a whole groove. Like, what?
Yeah.
So you still have to make a song out of it. And, you know, and so make it, you know, you get the groove, but you got to have a song, and then, you know, only so many people know how to do that. So, yeah. So we'll see.
We got about another. Let's see, 22 minutes left of the show, so we're mixing it up today. Solo Records Radio, Wardell Potts Jr. and Fleming Wardell. What you got for people?
Right here on Solo Records Radio, Anthony Potts.
Y'all niggas got me hot.
I like what I'm seeing. Girl, I just had to let you know. I see us leaving. You name it, and that's where we'll go. Did you come here by yourself, girl? Or did you come here with your friends? I'm not waiting on an answer. I was just wondering if tonight, if this is something that can last all night. I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind. Ain't seen nothing better. Body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind, ain't seen nothing better. The way that you're moving, it turns me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this thing a try. Cause all I'm seeing in my mind is tonight. If this is something that can last all night. I hear your body and it's talking alright, saying what I like, blowing my mind, ain't seen nothing better. The way that you're moving, it turns me on. What can I do to get you all alone? Cause baby tonight, I'm thinking we might just give this thing a try. Cause all I'm seeing in my mind is all.
Oh, man, Anthony Stokes right there all night. Man, oh, man. I tell you guys, we're mixing up here at Soul Eye Records Radio, and we are about mixed out. And much love to all of our friends. Thanks, Greg and Astrid, for, you know, all the things that you do. Thanks to Phoenix for the first part of the show. And thanks to our brother, Don Fleming, Mr. Don Fleming. He's here for hanging out with us. Much love, man. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Well, man, I'm glad to hang out with you on this, I guess, abbreviated moment because, you know, I'm in the second hour. But I had a good time. You know, it was a great conversation earlier. And just want to remind everybody to tell a friend if they're on Facebook to like the page, Soul Eye Records Radio on Facebook. Also, if they want to get some cool merchandise, what's the websites they can go to?
WardellPottsJr.com.
All right. And also, I think SoulEyeRecordsRadio.com also. But
yeah.
What else? Yeah, and the Cash App. So hashtag, and I'm with hashtag. $ Soul Eye Records Radio, all one word. So. Thank everybody for donating to the show and hanging out and making us better. That's what it's about, making us better.
Yes. And thank God for that, man. It's a good thing. I love that kind of, you know, drive where we're driving each other to be the best that we can be for ourselves and each other, and it's a beautiful thing, man. It's better than somebody pushing you down and trying to get you to do drugs and kill yourself. You know, it's way better than that, man. And I
speaking of that, let me say this real quick, because and I'm seeing this trend on social media. And if you got friends or family, please tell them not to do this milk crate challenge. This is crazy. And folks walking up on the milk crates like a pyramid, and they're falling off. And
wow.
I just saw a video of a dude broke his arm. Arm went backwards. So, y'all, don't do these little silly summer trends, man. Just be safe out there. Good grief.
Oh,
so we're still
Lord.
In a pandemic. You guys are walking on milk crates. Stop it. Stop it.
And you know, by the way, there's no room in the hospitals for you. So you're really setting yourself up.
Man.
Lord, I busted my thumb open, and my wife wanted me to go to the hospital, and I said, there's no room. I'll take care of it myself. I'm like, you know, so if you're going to break an arm, or something just because you're doing something silly, then you're really silly. Don't do that.
I know. Be safe out there, man.
Yeah. And know we love you and care about you. So do the same for yourself and love yourself. Yeah, yeah.
Tell y'all little knucklehead cousins and nephews and all that, stop doing these milk crate challenges. Stop.
Just stop it. All right, guys. Well, you guys all have a blessed night and take care of yourselves. And thanks again for tuning in to Soul Eye Records Radio. We see tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Don Fleming and myself, as we have a great day on Indie Jazz Day here. All right? So thanks again, and you guys take care. And we'll see you later, Don.
You know what?
Up and out.
I want to hear some Carlito the Red.
Oh, go ahead.
Can we play some Carlito the Red, man? You know, I'm playing her music left and right, but we're mixing it up today, and I just want to close out with one of the songs that I love, and I know that you love, you grown fond of. Let's go ahead and play, I guess. Guys, you have a good one. You have a good Thursday. Actually, you have a good Tuesday. We'll see you guys Wednesday, Indie Jazz. Until then, be safe, guys.